Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa namadahu wa nasta'inahu wa nasta'khiru wa nauminu bihi wa natawakalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'maluna. Man yadi lahu fala mudila lahu. Wa man yadila fala hadiyala. Wa nashidu an la ilaha illahu wahadu la sharikala. Wa nashidu anna muhammadin abduhu rasuluh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alayhi wa ashabihi ajma'in. In the name of Allah, the merciful and compassionate, truly praises for Allah, and we praise Him, and we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we put our trust in Him, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and our wrong actions. And whoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whoever He leads astray, there is no one to guide him. And we bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, one without a partner. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and worshiper, messenger. Blessings of Allah and peace be upon him and his family and his companions. Qallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitabi al-mubin. Allah says in His most holy book, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu taqoo lillahi haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunu illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhal nasu تَأْكُرُ رَبُّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ ۚ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die save that you are Muslims. And O people, fear your Lord that created you from oneself, and from it that is made in the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another and other, and toward the wombs from which you have come. Truly Allah is the watcher over all of you. Alhamdulillah, the cha'ala yawman ju'amati sayyidil a'inami wa la na'budu wa nasta'inahu ila iha wa huwa ladhi farada salata jumati bi-khabib Allah. Praise be to Allah who on the day of congregation made the day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship, we do not seek the aid of other than from He who made the congregational worship obligatory for us, as witness in the saying of the Most High, O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call from the Salah on the day of congregation, make haste and remember Allah and leave your trading. The sincere believers are those who believe and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, for truly in the remembrance of Allah the hearts find rest. Well, my brothers and sisters, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a very joyous day today because it is the birthday of my youngest daughter, Samah, and it brings a great joy to our hearts that she's with us. And it's a very serious day because as we contemplate the future of the world for our children, there are many crises in the world that we have to be concerned with, and many reasons for us to be proactive instead of reactive, or at least responding properly to what has already occurred. We live at a time of crisis. And of course, we could have said that many, many times over the years, but somehow the crises that we're facing these days seem somewhat more immediate and seem much more far-reaching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا نَبَلُوَنَاكُمْ بِشَاءٍ مِّنَّ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُؤِي وَالنَّاسِ كَسِي مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَارَةِ وَبَشِرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُم مُّصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. He says, and surely we shall try you but something of fear and hunger and loss of worldly wealth and lives and the fruit of labor, and give good news to the steadfast, who when they are visited with misfortune say, truly we belong to Allah, and truly to Him is our return. Upon them rest the blessings of their sustainer and mercy, and it is they who are guided. So we need to be of the steadfast, and we need to understand that the trials that are coming to us and to our brothers and sisters throughout the world, especially our brothers and sisters in Palestine today, are tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other side, there are also tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are the Israelis, who are being tested. They may say by their patience or tested by their survival, but they're also being, but moreover, they're really being tested by their trust in God too. And their ability to find ways to really solve, or at least to find a way, a means of beginning to solve an issue that far transcends the limited boundaries of their country or even their region, the region that they cohabit with the Palestinians and other Arabs, Muslims, Jews, Christians. So today I want to try to deal a little with the crisis in the lives of these people and therefore in our lives, the challenges of our times. One of the attributes of reciting Surah Kaf, especially on Fridays, is to give us strength and to learn how to resist and to learn how to live our lives amidst the trials and the tribulations. Part of the systemic reality is to help us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand the limitations of the dunya, or the physical world, and to prepare us again to understand the freedom of our ruh. The descriptions in the Surah Kaf are very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran makes back and forth statements about trials He gives us. He says in Surah Araf, He says to us, wa qatanahum fil ardi umama منهم الصالحون ومنهم دون ذلك وبلوناهم بالحسنات والسيئات لعلهم يرجعون. And we dispersed them all over the earth as separate communities. And among them some were righteous and some were other than that. And later we tested them with good times and bad, and perhaps they would return to the straight path. And then he goes on and he tells us what happens after that. In this dispersion, in this diasporic intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring people back to test whether they stay on the straight path and stay with the teachings of their belief, or stay with the revealed teachings, in the case of the Jews, of course, the Torah, and in the case of the Palestinians, the Muslims, who are also in diaspora, the Palestinians, and the Christian Arabs among the Palestinians. He says, فَقَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ قَلْفُونَ وَرَاثِ الْكِتَابِ وَخُنْدُونَ أَرَدَ هَذَا أَدْنَا وَيَقُلُونَ سَيُغَفَارُ لَنَا وَإِنَّ يَاتِهِمْ أَرَادٌ مِثْلُهُ يَخُذُوهُ الْأَلَمْ يُخَدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مِثَاقُ الْكِتَابِ وَأَلَا يَقُولُوا أَلَا لِلَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ وَدَرَسُوا مَا فِيهِ وَدَرُوا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ الَّذِينَ يَتَكُونَ أَفَلَا تَكِلُونَ. He says, and there followed them successors who inherited the book while they grasped at the goods of this lower life, saying, it will be forgiven to us. And all the while they're ready, if a similar chance of fleeting good comes to them, to take it. Was it not a covenant taken from them on the book that they would not say anything about Allah save the truth? And they studied what was in it? The home of the final life is better for those who guard themselves for Allah. Will you not use your intelligence? And then he says, he reveals the truth again. He says, "Waladina yumasikuna bil kitabi wa akimu salah. Inna la nudiul ajra al mukhlisin." Muslihin. He says, and for those who hold fast to the book and establish their salat, surely we shall not allow the reward of those who set things right to be lost. And then in a sort of prognostication, you know, of what is to come, he says, وَإِذَا نَتَكَنَ لَجَبَالَ جبل فقهم كأنه ذلة ودانه أنه وكئم بهم خذوا ما أتيناكم بقوات وذكروا مثيه لعلكم تتكون. And remember when we shook the mountain above them as though it were a shadow, and they thought it would fall upon them. Hold to what we have given you with all your strength and remember what is in it in order that you may guard yourselves for Allah. So Allah speaks to us of crisis among people and crisis among nations and tests and trials for many in many different circumstances. And we are to understand that in any crisis, of course, there are many, many problems, challenges, tests, trials. It can be an earthquake or it can be bombs shaking the mountains. There can be floods and fires that come from through nature, or it can be floods of water mains bursting and fires as a result of bombs. It can be death that comes from plague or death that comes from war. A terrible crisis. It can be disease like AIDS, or it can be the disease that comes from destruction of war and genocide, typhus and things like that. The outcome of any crisis is always a large degree of pain, a large degree of suffering. But the reward of how we deal with crisis and challenges in our lives in dunya is multiplied if people are patient and if they submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and persevere within the context of their essence of their faith, if of course the essence of their faith is extant, reachable, understandable, offered to them even in the midst of crisis. The Quran teaches people to adhere to being patient and to persevere, sabr, when there are calamities. In Surah Baqarah, Allah says, "We will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of goods and lives and the fruit of your toil, but give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere, who say when afflicted with calamity, to Allah we belong and to Him is our return," as I read to you. And of course, we say this when someone dies, right? Just like we have different degrees of pain thresholds, many of us find ourselves defining things in our lives as crises when other people would laugh and say, "You call this a crisis? You call this pain? You call this loss?" It's one thing to have a flood or a water main break on Reservoir Road up in Washington like it did 2 weeks ago, and a few cars get stuck in it, or an earthquake, or fires, or disasters. Another thing, have them break under the impact of 500-pound bombs, which take along with them people and other things. Those things are clearly crises. But the trials and the vicissitudes of day-to-day life that we all experience, what we consider, as I consider to be a crisis, another person may not, but everyone agrees that no matter what you define as a crisis, you feel some damage from it, some strain from it. And very few people talk about the benefit of this strain and this crisis. It almost seems to be haram to talk about the benefit. You know? Cold. insensitive. Dare we talk about the benefit of this crisis rained upon by bombs on the Palestinians? What is the benefit? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us anything without a potential benefit to it. And so people who often fight wars in the name of religion or some kind of cultural religious mentality, pseudo-religious mentality, you know, forget this part of the equation. Talk about responding with like, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a jihad, the sacred right to own the land, while all the other sacredness is thrown out the window in a secular society. Or one has only power based on the jihad. What would happen if there was no need for the jihad? What would happen to those people? Would they go quietly to their homes, melt their weapons down, and turn them into plowshares and pruning hooks? Or is their identity so locked up in their jihad or their historical ideology of destiny that they dare not contemplate peace and understanding, dare not see what this trial and tribulation, this loss, is pointing them to? An affirmation of the deepest spiritual values, the most profound trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the challenge to be a believer in the midst of all this chaos and murder and genocidal activities. The crisis in the Middle East today, like all the crises in the Middle East over the last 60-some years, 62 years or so, has been exacerbated by the, and caused by the selfish and greedy politicization, not only of the region, but of the faith of the people. Whether it was years ago when Sharon turned a blind eye to Sabra and Shatila, or whether it was in 48, or whether it was in 73, or whether it was in, pick a year, pick a circumstance. And then these people come out and they make themselves over to look like they're peacemakers. Well, if you spelled it P-I-E-C-E, maybe. Fragmenters, tearing things into pieces. But because we are Muslims, and we try not to be overly political, and still have our right to criticize and our right to critique what's happening from a spiritual point of view, we have to look to the benefit. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing before us? What is it that the system itself is responding to set us back on the Sirat al-Mustaqim? To make peace something that has value. That's not just the absence of war. To make love something, and brotherhood and sisterhood, a value. Had I wanted to, I would have made you all one community, but I made you differ so that you could come to know one another, come to love one another, come to respect one another, so that the enemy turns into a friend, as Allah tells us, and the dearest of the friend. Why? We can't turn a blind eye to those ayat. It's not if everything goes all right according to everyone, then that'll happen. It has to be made to happen by faith and belief. All of our faith and belief are tested. And we feel the test from here. Imagine what you feel like when the doctor ran into the hospital in Gaza carrying his one child who is alive. Wallahi, saying, I could not even bring the body of my wife. She's been cut in half. And my son is dead. My one-year-old son is dead. Yesterday, she was a Ukrainian. She could have gone out, but she refused to leave her husband's side. She could have been taken out. But the children. And he has to live with that. Just one little story. What's the benefit? How easy is it to look for benefit in that situation? Well, perhaps you can say that during a crisis, people often turn toward Allah, turn to God, or Allah, depending on what they believe. Then maybe they come back toward Allah. Of course, on the other hand, there are people who, because of the crisis, think Allah has abandoned them. In the times of material security and peace, people get lazy, don't necessarily feel or see or look for the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life. When times are difficult, maybe they tend to pray and remember Him and seek out His favor, at least certainly call out to Him in the misery they see around them. Maybe that will happen. Certainly it will happen for some people. Certainly happen to some extent. We cried, "Oh Allah, relieve us of this crisis and we'll try not to make the same mistake again." Maybe that happens in some cases. But Allah says in Surah Al-Araf, He says, "We have tried them with both prosperity and adversity in order that they may turn to us." That's the point. Allah tells us the point. This is why the crisis comes. This is what the trials and the tribulations are, because they forget. What about the people who are remembering every day among those people? Collateral belief? What is it? Collateral... They're part of the collateral spiritual damage. To people who really believe this, living in Gaza. People who really believe this living in Israel. What about them? Why are they being punished along with everybody else? They're really believing it. We all need to be tried and tested. You just don't get faith and belief, and at least I don't know many people do who get it, and then there is invested in an absolute guaranteed investment. It's not only going to stay what it was, it's going to grow. I don't think so. It's a reminder for each of us. And then when people wander astray, and when they astray, and when they forget, one way of bringing them back is of course being tried with adversity, but also with prosperity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And certainly, in a strange way, you can see that this battle today is a battle between adversity and prosperity. Fear of loss of what one has. Hopelessness in gaining anything other than what one has. Of course, we would say, "I'd rather be tried with prosperity than adversity," but who would see that as a trial? And then patience and perseverance, Allah tells us. Patience and perseverance is necessary when there are difficulties. And those of us who face hardships, crises, turmoil, difficulties, if we're patient with Allah, Allah tells us to reward us in paradise. Alhamdulillah, but if life in this world is hell, on one hand, some people may feel paradise is a great reward. On the other hand, may say, "How can I think of paradise when I see what's happening in front of my eyes?" And then we look around and we see there's an awful lot of impatience, especially in the Middle East. More death, more misery, more destruction, more insecurity, shelterless, foodless, waterless, hopeless. And what is La ilaha without the illah? Without the illallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, He says to us, ولنبلونكم حتى نعلم المجاهدين منكم والصابرين ونبل هو أخباركم. He says, and we shall try you until we know those of you who strive hard and those of you who are the steadfastly patient, and we shall test the truth of your statements. Think about all the people being tried and tested today who consider themselves believers and who are lying about the situation that they're in. Just lying. How about lying to the people? Lying to them about the necessity. Lying to them about the necessity of war. Whether you're talking about the Middle East, or you're talking about Iraq, or you're talking about, you know, what some people wanted to accomplish, or we call it accomplish, in Iran, for change of power took place in this country. Well, just think about the amount of faith that's put in lies. We'll test you until we know the truth of what you're saying. Huh? Think about the lies that are told to the people. When we look around the world today and we see that most of us are failing the test. Maybe people don't believe that they will be rewarded in the hereafter. Okay. Maybe some people don't believe that they're going to be, there'll be a painful life in the Jahannam, in the hell. The disbeliefs, what I used to call or call sometimes, the disbeliefs of the believer. It's very hard, I think, for a group of secularized religious people, whether they're Jews or Muslims or whatever they may be, to believe those statements. And when you look at the Middle East, where's the common ground? If the common ground doesn't exist in faith and belief, there is no common ground. If it doesn't exist where Allah has given birth to three major religions of the world, then, not I mean geographically, but in the common belief, there is no common ground, and there is no hope. What they find common ground in is property, land, objects, competing for ownership, possession, which now has become so hyperbolized, so magnified, that it doesn't even look like that anymore. And now it becomes to look like principles. But the foundation of the principles lie in the deen. You heard me tell the story many, many times about the I can't remember his name. Maybe Musa or somebody can remember the name of the negotiator at the time of the Balfour Agreement, who said, "Can't you two gentlemen sit down like two good Christians and work this all out?" Speaking to the Muslim and to the Jewish representative. Well, in a strange, ironic way, he was right. You know. If they could have sat down like good Christians or good Jews or good Muslims, maybe it could have been worked out. Maybe that was his intention. He comes off like a fool, of course, on one level. But really, really, you know, as I rethink that statement, he may have been right. And he was right. I'll even go that far. An unfortunate British way of saying things, but he was right. Common ground has to be spiritual faith, and it has to be human dignity, because faith gives dignity, and it has to be a vision for the future that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. And it has to be a sense of the amana. And then we have to look at the world in which we live in today and say, look, my suggestion, humble suggestion, is what I'm calling now deregionalization of thinking. Stop looking at the local situation only. Stop looking at the regional situation only. You have to globalize your thinking and raise generation after generation of people who feel that they have a global responsibility. They have talents and capabilities that are needed everywhere. That their poverty and their hunger, if it's solved on a global level, will be solved on a local level. It's a strange turnaround from the 60s. It's now acting globally is acting locally. And I've said that for 20 years or more. Acting globally is acting locally in the world we live in today. Because everything is globalized. And yes, of course, the local situation is critical and important. The regional situation is critical and important. But it is so interrelated. And people have to have hope. Whether it's in global commerce or in agriculture or whatever it may be. And you can bet that it's going to be commercial at some level, or some early level in economic. People have to have hope. It's no longer all right that young people can go to school, get master's degrees and PhDs in Egypt and never find a job and not be able to get married and have an apartment or afford anything. It's no longer okay. Anyway, we'll get off the subject. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if you persevere and if you're patient and if you're strong, then you will do all right in crisis and you'll be rewarded. But if you don't believe in the reward, what's the point? Well, the reward is also, of course, just the security that comes from that patience and perseverance. And to purge our hearts of what needs to be removed from our hearts, penury and hate and greed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us that the crisis is a test to clarify through examination and contemplation, fiqh, what is in our hearts. And Allah knows exactly what we think and feel, so Allah can pick the test pretty easily. Not like a god sitting on a throne knowing, but we make an impression where we are and what we do, and the response comes to that. Very personal. Very personal. And if I know you're afraid of losing your money, well, just turn the economy over to the bankers and the investment brokers. They'll take care of that fear. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, he says, at the end of this ayat, وَلِيَّتَبَ لِنَا لَهُ مِنْ فِي سُدُورِكَمْ وَلِيُّ مَا هِسَى مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ أَلِمُونَ بِذَاتِ سُدُورِ. No. I forget where I started. Anyhow, before, even if you had been in your houses, those appointed to be slain would have gone forth to places where they were destined to lie down. All of this in order that Allah may try what is in your breasts and render pure all that is in your hearts. And Allah knows what is hidden in your breasts. So our fears, our worries, our doubts, whatever it is, comes out in this outward way. But it doesn't have to be announced in public, but somehow it's seen. And when it is announced in public and we see the fears in public, it should stimulate us to understand that we have to move toward compassion, move toward mercy, move toward forgiveness, move toward justice, move toward peace, move toward love, move toward understanding, move toward tolerance and perseverance, move toward move towards sustenance and sustaining and guide, good guidance and revealing. This is the way. The road's blocked over here. There are all these trucks. There are all these tanks. There are all these barbed wires. Here's the road out of this. We can discuss the causes, and we can look at the symptoms, and we can make prescriptions, and that's a good intention. But these specific tests and trials in the Islamic community, in the spiritual community, in the faith community, one would hope would result in some kind of understanding, some kind of purification of tazkiyah, some kind of lasting tarbiyah. Some knowledge might be gained, some purification would be gained. The community should benefit. And so the Muslims have to keep their piety and their taqwa. The Jews have to refine their deepest teachings of spirituality, not this sort of crazy humanistic, secular humanism, and to have sincerity and justice and love freedom and love and love understanding. That's what Allah created this type of test for. Otherwise, it's just fodder for the political people who want to take advantage of it, gain power, stay in power. And the only way they can do that is by maintaining the war, the constant war. Again, I heard it in the deniers on the news yesterday, the revisionists, the history revisionists, revisionist history going on now as administration changes. You know, Richard Pearl, who said that the war was never an ideological one. It was not a neoconservative ideological war. And people say, see, he said it must be the truth. Huh? It's like going to a cesspool and saying, really, believe me, this is fresh water. Drink from the well. Well, it must be true. So it's very hard for us to see benefits coming from difficulties, especially when some of our friends, some of our colleagues, some of our brothers and sisters are working very hard just to get people medical supplies or get them out of Gaza or give them comfort. And we're praying and we should probably be making janazah 3 times a day here. We should start that this weekend, make janazah for the people who die. And people are calling out for reconciliation. I got a letter in the mail from somebody who's a peacenik from Israel and said, you know, who visited here, you know, talked about holding hands around it is and all the accomplishments they were making and how those are lost now and holding hands around the old city and you know, kissing each other and holding each other and loving each other. Forget it. There is no solution to this problem. There's no solution to this conflict. There's only a way to affirm your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the solution to this conflict. Yes, dialogue is important. Sitting with one another is important. Affirming peace is important. But understanding that these tests and trials are for something much greater than just peace in the Middle East. That's a result of something much greater. Allah says in Surah Al-Nahl, invite all to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching and argue with them in ways that are best and most gracious. Who is better in speech than one who calls and Surah Anfusirah, then one who calls people to Allah, one who works righteousness and says, I am of those who balance submission to Allah in Islam. Don't say just people who call people to Allah, dawah. But one who works righteousness. No one is working righteousness when they're dropping a bomb or controlling a drone or shooting a missile and then running into a house to find protection. Do they really think that the technology doesn't exist to know exactly where that rocket came from? It should have been proved time and time again already this week. They can pinpoint exactly where it comes from. So, bomb it. Right? And then Allah tells us this real kicker, you know. Everyone says, wow, this is a real zinger when you really think about what's happening. He says, thus we have made you of an ummah justly balanced that you may be witness over the nations and the messenger a witness over yourselves. Well, do I really need to comment on that ayat? There are an awful lot of believers who are disbelievers. And the evidence is clear. Allah says, this is my way. I invite you unto Allah with evidence clear as the seeing of one's eyes. And I and whoever follows me, glory be to Allah. Never will I join others with Allah. Except those people who are telling us to fight a war that's unjust or to kill people who are innocent or what. So it's hard to control our upset and our anger at the loss of life. It's hard to find the depth of our faith and our belief at times like this trial. It's hard. If it's hard for us from here, my God, what is it like for those there? And do we love them just because they're Muslims? No, we love them because they're people. And do we weep for them because they're Muslims? No, we weep for them because they're human beings, creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, I want to say in this long khutbah, I'm sorry, that this concept of due proportional response is, of course, you know, on one hand ridiculous, and on the other hand, affirmation of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to make everything in measure and in balance. But look who's making the decision and who's defining what proportion is. If you don't fear death because you don't think anything happens after death, that's the reason. You live, you die, you live a good life, you do good, you raise your children, they do good, they die, they live, they raise their children, they live, they die. So what difference does it make? If you follow that logic, then what's the divine right of ownership in this whole process? Oh, let's pull God off the shelf and use God. And if you believe in the hereafter, then why not fear the actions? This is so unreasonable and illogical that it sounds strangely human. Strangely postmodern. And so, although it may give us some peace or it may not, we must pray for these people. And for no other reason, because I want my daughters to live 120 years healthily, and your children also, and in a good environment. And we are still able to work for that. And all of our energy and all of our money and all of our effort and all of our time should be put into that. And though we don't live on a high hill, maybe we might be part of the, quote, Christian concept of the shining city on the hill. Community of real believers. And I see my daughter wake up in the morning, it's a birthday time, and I say, happy birthday, and she comes out and we sing Tavalud Mubarak, and we hug and we kiss, and what greatness. She got a few gifts today, a few more coming, I'm sure, tonight. Another one coming that we have ordered that hasn't arrived yet. And I saw what joy she got in her face when her sister gave her some soap that bubbles and foams. I hope you don't mind me sharing that. Just a bottle of soapy hands up that foams. Can you ask for anything more from your children than the transference of love from something so simple? Just I have to pray that it lasts. Allah. For those of us who may not have so much time left in this world, we really do want to leave a legacy. And Allah gave us the name. So let's live up to it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم انصرنا في نعك خير الناصرين واصرنا في نعك خير الفاتحين واكفر لنا في نعك خير الغافرين وارحمنا في نعك خير الراحمين وارزقنا في نعك خير الرازقين وحدنا ناجنا من اقوام الظالمين وهب لنا ريحان ثابتا كما هي في علمك وشرنا الينا من خزانها برحمتك وملنا بها حمل الكرامات والسلامات والعافيات في الدنيا والدنيا واخره انك كل شيء قدير اللهم يسر لنا عمرنا وهراتي لقلوبنا وابدا وسلامات وعافيتي في ديننا وديننا ونسالك ايمانا دائما ونسالك قلبا خاشيا ونسالك علما نافعا ونسالك دينا قائما ونسالك عافيه من كل بلية ونسالك تامن العافيه ونسالك دعوة وعافيه ونسالك شكر الله العافيه انك لكل شيء قدير اللهم وصفي وجودها بنور صفاتك وعددك بشيرنا يوم كماتي بين علي لك وجعل يدك مبسوطا مبسوطا علينا وعلى أهلنا ومعنا معنا برحمتك وكن لنا صاحبا في سفارنا وكلفات أهلنا وتسمي على وجه عيدنا ومساكن على مكاناتهم فلا يستعنى المدير والله ما جن علينا ويعني ما مجيب ولا يعني ما مجيب And the Imam Mujib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have mercy on us, forgive us, you're the best of the forgivers. Make our life order for us, and serenity in our lives, and peace in our lives, and the peace in the lives of those who are faithful, and have the kind of faith and knowledge that is beneficial to us, and put it, keep us on the straight path, and give us freedom and well-being, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make our lives, our faces, and our children's faces shine with the light of your attributes. Make us laugh and rejoice on the day of resurrection, knowing that we have done good things and spread over this world good things, and have that light shine upon our family and our children, and be our companion as we travel in this world, and a guardian over our families, and a face the faces of our enemies, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and freeze them in their places so they're unable to go or come against us. O gracious and merciful. Amen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I ask for your dua for my daughter on her birthday today. And for all the poor people and the suffering people and those who are in oppression today. There are people today in Gaza and I'm sure in Israel whose birthdays are today. And some of whom wish they were never born, probably. So let's remember them, all right? Inshallah ta'ala. الحمد لله نعبده ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتقال إليه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى مكاتب المقربين وأولياء الصالحين ومجاهدين في الدين وبرحمتك الرحمن الرحيم قول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المبين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسيدنا محمد اللهم سادتنا والخلفاء الراشدين البخرين الصديقي وعمر وفاخر وعثمان النورين وعلى سيدنا الإمام علي كرم الله وجهه ورد اللهم أن سيدنا الحسن وسيدنا حسين وأن أمهما سيدتي فاطمة وزهرة وأن أعلي وبيت وكاري كرام الأجواجي ونبيتك طهيرتي ومهات المؤمنين ونصحبات الصالحين وتابعين وتابعيهم وعباد الله المخلصين بالإسلامين وإمامين وإحسانين يوم الدين إبدا الله إن الله يمر وبعد الإحسان يتعالى في الخربة بين الفشاء والمخرب وباهي يادكم لكم تذكرون وذكر الله أكبر واحمل السلام.